Hello, and welcome to Fuzzing, or How I Generated a Million New Processor Test Cases in an Afternoon. My name is Thomas Hart. So the first question you might be asking is, why? Why have I created new test cases when there are already many test programs already available for most, at least the simpler CPU architectures? And the answer is because those tend to be test programs, i.e. they are sequences of code written by an intelligent person, which form proper complete programs that can run either on original hardware or on your emulator. And the effect of those restraints is that you need to have a very large proportion of your processor implemented before you can run very much of the test case, certainly before you can get to a final thumbs up or thumbs down. And the quality of the result it can give often is indeed just that binary yes or no, because there's only so much you can fit inside the addressing space and the processing time constraints of real hardware. Some people try to make these test programs more useful by releasing trace logs, which are a list of the processor states after every single instruction, such that if you are running your own emulation and you get the wrong result, you can compare and contrast, do a quick diff, and hopefully find out at what point you deviated from the intended output. But even if you track your emulation to one of those, you're still kind of either implementing the whole thing before you start, or else implementing your emulator in the order that somebody else wanted to use the instructions to achieve a result. And there's still only going to be, you know, a few dozen maybe test cases per opcode as happened to be convenient for the program that was written. So then the question is, in what way could we try to offer some set of tests that are potentially more helpful than those test programs? And this is my suggestion for that. It is, take a known good emulator, probably should have put inverted commas on that, I'll come back to it later, and from there randomly generate an initial state, i.e. a current state, an instruction that the processor is about to perform, and then as the instruction is performed, any additional values that are read which have not yet been filled in. Having executed the instruction, record the end state and anything else written to memory. It's all been randomly generated, so a modern computer can do it in the blink of an eye, so just do that a lot. Generate hundreds, thousands, millions, billions of these tests. Probably not billions, but really go at it. Okay then, but in what regard is that potentially better than the more traditional test program? Well, I would argue that it is better in that it allows a developer to proceed with test-driven development, i.e. they can implement their processor emulator one instruction or one opcode at a time, and start by testing whatever they've written against the entire test set for that opcode or instruction, continue until that one works, then move on to the next one in any order that they like. If they happen to have just read about a particularly complicated feature of some instruction or another, they can immediately proceed and see whether they got the right result. And if they did not get the right result for any individual test, then it should be pretty easy to see why. Because in each case, you have a given start state and then a difference between, you know, the end state that you got and the end state that you should have got, which is going to be 5 seconds of reading, and you'll be able to see how the two differ, which should provide you with enough information to figure out why they differ. You also get an arbitrary low probability of having missed any edge cases. So a simple example of an edge case that you might miss with a low number of randomly generated tests is a divide instruction with a divide by zero exception. Obviously, at some point, you're going to have to try to divide by zero to test that that exception is caught. If you're not going to use any intelligence, and for people like me, it's usually best not to try, then you are going to have to just pump up the number of tests you generate. Test it up, pump it up really, really high, and then the probability of not having hit one of those edge cases similarly decreases to virtually zero. To offer a specific example of the sort of tests I'm talking about, I'm going to take the 6502, of course. You know, it's barely a processor by modern standards. There's fewer than 256 instructions, no cache, no prefetch, purely sequential operation, although that's helpful in this example case, because it means that the point-wise state is extraordinarily simple. So in order to generate tests such as those I'm describing for the 6502, I chose to generate 10,000 tests per opcode across five different members of the 6502 family, being the original, the NES version that doesn't have any decimal arithmetic, and three different variants of the 65CO2. So just the 8-bit members, no 65816 yet. But that means that in total I generated 10,000 times almost 256 times 5, which is actually a bit less than 12.8 million tests. So slightly more than the million I promised, if not a lot more. Here's an example of one such test. You'll notice that it is a JSON object. That's great. Nobody needs to write their own little custom parser for some format I invented in order to use these tests. It has a name. That's fine. That's because you might want to discuss the test with someone else at some point. There's the initial state, listing initial values for all of the exposed 6502 registers. This is JSON, so everything is in decimal, which looks a little odd in this context, but let's just roll with it. In addition, there are the values that you need to establish in your address space. I've called it RAM. Just imagine a 6502 that magically has a 64 kilobytes all RAM, but started up correctly somehow or another. Below that, final state, registers again, memory contents that should be present at the end. And then a list of the bus cycles that should have been observed by a 6502 executing this instruction. So let's quickly run through it as a worked example. You'll see I've already disassembled it for you. This instruction, F5F06F, is SBC of hex F0, X. So the 6F actually completely unused, presumably some sort of issue with the generation program, but here's the great thing about this sort of randomized testing. It doesn't really matter. It's just some value in RAM that doesn't affect the outcome in any way. So I don't even need to concern my brain with that particular issue. So let's have a quick look at the initial state. Okay, the PC was 30028. So then these three values at the start of the RAM must have been the F5F06F, because that happens to be the naming convention I picked for these tests, although the name is arbitrary. So at the end, the program counter was 3030, so I just read the first two. That's great. That comports with what I was saying a moment ago. So the initial accumulator was 89. The reads went program counter, clearly. Then a read from 240. Well, that is hex F0, and you know, is a side effect of the 6502 being not particularly efficient in terms of its bus activity, potentially controversial statement, but it does a lot of reads and writes that it doesn't need to, so in that sense, inefficient. And then X was 13, so 240 plus 13, 240.